Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We've got a full house here. I know some people are joining us by Zoom, but because we're all here, I don't have to declare an emergency or anything like that. We'll call the meeting to order. It's for Tuesday, January 25th, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ken, you want to lead us this time?
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cole. You did a very nice job. So now we go to the very important roll call.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Peterson?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Very nice. I have no amendments to the agenda. We do not have any presentations, do we? So, excellent. No public hearing. At this point, I will ask for citizen comments on items that are on the agenda. Are there any citizens here who would like to comment on items on the agenda? Are there any citizens in Zoom land that would like to comment on items on the agenda? No comments at all? Okay. Next, we have consent agenda. And before we take a motion on this, we'll explain a couple things. Item 4 on the consent agenda, the road to Bender Roads. Change order number one. Actually, we have a reduction of $67,000 in one portion and about $103,000 in another portion. So this is actually about $180,000 reduction. We're not reducing any roads. That's just the numbers are going to be better than we originally thought. And then the next item I want to make sure we're aware of is item 6 for the new garbage rates. We do have... This is a contract that is for 5 years, correct? Bart, in terms of a 5-year contract?
It is a 5-year contract.
So I want everyone to be aware that's something, a policy that council's implemented years ago, and I'm not looking to change it at this point. I just want to make sure everyone's aware. With the senior garbage rates, we do offer some subsidies for seniors. There's about 850 accounts that take advantage of either a subsidized or just a smaller container in the total. Of those subsidies and reduced rates is about $45,000 a year. That's funded out of the general fund as part of the budget, but I just think we should be transparent and sure we're aware of that. So having explained those, because I wouldn't want to do it after the motion's made, because Mr. Funkhauser would chastise me, so I can do it beforehand. That's the way around the Robert's rules or the Funkhauser rules. Anyway, Mr. Funkhauser, are you making a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, second by Coke, and that again is for the meeting minutes for January 11th. The bills totaling $1.292 million. Bender Roads final payment for change order number one. And the treasurer's report and the ordinance for new garbage services. Okay, roll call please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Terulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Coke?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Next, we have the mayor's report. We have some items on here. But first, I want to give Mr. Peterson an opportunity to talk about a fundraiser that he will be attending. I believe you're actually, or maybe your wife's putting this together.
She is actually, yes, she's a chairperson leading this event. So probably some of you guys probably know, we adopted 2 children, so this is kind of near and dear to our heart, but we've got a spring charity event that's going to be held at Whitetail Ridge on March 12th, and it's for Call to Care, and it's an organization to help, I believe it's like 7 different counties in the area with foster care needs and help and assistance. So I'm going to read this because I don't have great memory. Call to Care is a local nonprofit organization founded by Kendall County residents Sherry and Phil Chapman. It's focused on foster families and children with the mission of mobilizing individuals to actively care for children and families in the foster care system. They provide care packages of a warm meal, clothing, pajamas, toiletries, and other immediate needs to families who have received a foster care placement within 24 hours of that placement. They also host special events for foster kids and families and support groups for foster parents as well. They support Kendall County and six surrounding counties. However, children placed in these seven counties come from all over Illinois. There is an inaugural charity dinner, and it will include a silent and live auction, speakers, I think it's a celebrity speaker as well, games, dinner, and a cash bar. Should you be interested in supporting Call to Care at the dinner, you can purchase tickets for $50 a person, $100 per couple. It is open seating at the event, or you can gather 10 friends and purchase a table. They are currently looking for silent and live auction donations and have already collected items from many local businesses, including restaurant gift cards, gift bags, massages, scuba lessons, painting lessons, a custom birthday cake, closet organizing services, etc. The mission and cause could be no greater, benefiting children who are hoping to find their forever families. Consider coming out to support the efforts of this organization. So that is what I have. So
that's again March 12th.
Yes. Yep. At Whitetail Ridge on March 12th.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm not the celebrity speaker, so don't worry.
You just ruined it.
Well, I've made it better for me. Excellent. Thank you. And for now, that's all I have for the mayor's report. I used that for a while, but I thought it was good to hear about. So the next item under mayor's report is item 2022-04. It's a resolution approving a memorandum of understanding by and between the city of Yorkville and the Yorkville School District number 115. So I'd like to get a motion in a second, and then I'll have Tim Evans explain this. This is for a preschool agreement, so we can run the preschool program over here in the high school. So if I can get a motion, second, please.
Motion.
Second. And Merrick. This is why I heard so. Okay, so Tim, please go ahead and explain this.
Yeah, basically, it is, so last year when we had some discussions with the library about potentially moving our preschool program over to the library, those discussions just didn't work out to be a win-win situation for everybody. The school district reached out to us and said they were interested in potentially partnering with us on our preschool program. So for the last 6-7 months, myself and Shay and rec staff are the main school district staff to see if we could work out a partnership to where we would be bringing our preschool program into a school facility and collaborating with them, potentially having their high school students who are interested in becoming teachers in the future coming on and either watching the class or visually getting involved with the class. So as it explains in the packet, we did come to an agreement on a location right over here, which is our sports building. The back half of the building, they have two really nice size rooms that we just need to kind of remodel that would allow us to kind of still have some separation from the school district, but being part of the school district, great access to parks and playgrounds here in a centrally located area for the community. Personally, as staff, I think it's just a great opportunity to collaborate with the school district to really elevate this program, to get kids that are coming in into a preschool program, getting ready with the school district guidelines, kind of school district, how they do things, to get these kids ready to go into kindergarten and first grade here in the Yorkville School District. Our teachers will get opportunities to train with their teachers. I just think it could be endless opportunities that really benefit the residents of Yorkville. And so hopefully you guys are able to approve this tonight. It's something we're really excited about.
So I would open up for questions. I know this is something we've talked about, but not in this kind of detail or format. The reason we're bringing forward tonight is obviously it's an agreement that we worked on, but then also there's a little bit of a time concern. We want to get going on this right away if we could.
We'd like to start getting registration going for next year, making announcements and things of that nature, and then as well as we need to get the facility ready.
Yeah, and from my perspective, it offers multiple benefits. One is it's obviously, as Tim mentioned, a partnership with the school district. Since I've been here, and I know beforehand, but definitely since I've been here, we've been able to work with the school district, just develop all kinds of partnerships. I know, for example, one we talked to this group, which is show their staff how to do concrete work, so maybe they can save some money with concrete work in the future. They've helped us with different things here. This allows an opportunity for the schools, again, to get students in there to assist with the daycare program. It not only will help us, it'll help grow future teachers. You know, kids can get in there and say, hey, I really like this, or maybe, you know, I don't want to do this, I'm going to be a scientist instead. I want to go work at Fermilab or something. So, you know, that to me is great, and the fact that it's near playground, it's with the school, it's much better situation than where we're at now. And the final thing is, I said, I'd like us to be able to sell that building we're in now. I mean, you know, the post, the old post office that I called, I'd like to have that opportunity to sell that so we could, you know, maybe bring some development. We've got, you know, interest, as you know, last time, we've got interest in people doing stuff downtown, and I think it's just one more opportunity to do something along the river there. So, but please, ask any questions you want. I just wanted to give you my perspective on it. So, Chris, I'm sure you have a couple questions.
The first question I had was, how has the circulation around the parking lots and timing of the different classes of preschool been considered at?
It's been highly considered. Unless we get this finalized, we're obviously going to be meeting with the school district to lay out a game plan. We'll adjust our hours so we're not interfering with, obviously, what the school's doing, as well as we don't want our parents to be frustrated with a bunch of high school kids living and they're trying to come in and pick up their child. So we don't, obviously our classes don't run 6-7 hours. They're like an hour and a half, 2.5 hours. So we'll be able to adjust our classes around the school district classes. So we don't see that being an issue at all.
So if I remember correctly from the last one, there was basically delivery pickup times or drop offs, all pickups.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, yeah. Preschool, so you have 2 points for our preschool. We have Ready, Set, Go, that's 2 to 3-year-olds, and then you have preschool, that's 4 to 5. So Ready, Set, Go, there's 2 sessions, kind of in the morning, that go like an hour, 15 minutes or so, and then 1 longer coaching session. So you pretty much have 3 pickups, 3 drop-offs. Same thing potentially on registration, you have the same thing as well.
So you'll be able to stagger that with,
yes,
the morning, kids getting to school in the afternoon, and then open campus, there's several times through the day where there's a mass exodus of students,
sure,
for their lunch breaks for open campus.
And these are all issues that once we get rolling and we're working on kind of rebranding the preschool, that we're working with our counterparts of the school district that maybe like be okay with this. So we've already started some of those discussions.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be my biggest consideration, yes, here, since this is tucked into the corners, making sure circulation works, that no one's inconvenienced, whether it's parents or the students, you know, just make sure that this all works. It does seem like it's going to be a good opportunity for the school. It's just those kind of logistics are my biggest concerns that we have there.
But very fair questions. I asked you some questions earlier. I've asked them several times. Obviously, our staff's dealt with crowds before. Scheduling, confident, the school's confident that we can work that out without a problem at all. What other questions, Mr. Funkhauser?
The term of the agreement, is this... maybe this is the resolution, but I didn't see it confirmed. Do we have anything said, or is it just open-ended ongoing?
It's a 5-year agreement. So they're required, the school district is required to notify us by the end of the 4th year, you know, whether they want us out definitively or not. And then if we both mutually agree to continue, then it's subject to another negotiation after that.
Do we have, so you just said that they have to notify us in the 4th year, do we have the same right to notify them for exit?
Yeah, I mean, we can tell them at any point that we, you know, we're preparing to give up the building. So,
but if we don't, it's just an automatic renewal.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because all of our, you know, compensation to them is basically due the front end for the renovation. Once we pay that, we have no obligation to them whatsoever.
Other questions or comments? Yes. Mr. Merrick.
What is, there's a reference to the upcoming school meeting. Do we know when that is?
I don't know what date it is, other than I believe they were contemplating a February board meeting.
Okay. I know they met last night. What do they meet, every 2 weeks or twice a month or once a month? Anyway, I know they had a meeting last night, so.
I think it's the 4th Friday of every month.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 4th Monday of every month.
Okay, so it'd be sometime next month.
Sorry, second question is, like, traditionally the amount of offerings or the spaces that you've had for available students, has that been pretty flat? This question number one. And two is, does this afford the ability to expand the potential amount of students that you could have?
Yes, you can expand, but it's not going to be dramatic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're averaging anywhere between 10 and 15 kids per class. I mean, you also have to have enough teachers, things that need to be able to handle all that. So, does this give you that option? Yes, but it's going to be along the margins. It's not like you're going to go from 15 kids to 40 kids per class. I mean, you would be, I just want to really be five rooms and stuff like that. So, or.
Other questions, Thomas? And just to be clear, so everyone's clear, we will be spending some money up to $75,000?
Yeah, there's a quote in the back that it's like 66, but I don't know if that's a formal bid or if they've already been
doing. Yeah, so I just, I want everyone to, you know, it's in there, but I just want everyone to be aware. So, but this, again, to me, this is exciting. Just the benefits of being involved in the school opens up opportunities for the kids and for just future cooperation. And then just the fact that we can now seriously look at marketing that property in that town. I'm excited about that. So we've had some real interest in the last probably 6 months in just different projects downtown. So, knocking wood on that. Other questions or comments? Mr. Song.
With the building being, you said a couple of different rooms, is there any concerns about heating, air conditioning, ventilation?
No, I mean, that's all stuff we've gone through with the budget will be resolved. So,
okay.
Did you have another question, Mr. Song?
I'm just curious about like air exchange rate and with certain respect to air exchange rate for classrooms. And so that definitely be concerned if we're able to change over the air.
Yeah, I mean, those are all things we're working with the school district, and obviously they have their certain balance to the same that they have as well. So those are things we've all worked with they're making a change in putting the budget together for this and what their remodel projects are looking at. So we looked at through the fire department.
Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
I thought I read in the memo that this was previously budgeted in Parks and Rec. Did I read that correctly, that this was already budgeted, that maybe from last year, or did I misread that?
I thought we had some money in this year's budget. Chris, I don't remember what time I'd been lying to say I do. I thought we had money because we were at one time anticipating going to the library, and obviously that didn't work out. But
they are budgeted. Off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly which budget they're in. They're in capital or your operation.
They would be capital.
Okay.
They would be capital.
Okay, Chris, I don't remember the exact amount of budget.
Yeah, that's my question would be, how was it budgeted? What line was it?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We can send that out afterwards. Yeah, I just don't remember.
Just want to see where it's coming from.
Yep.
For the,
the renovation budget. And it, we'll find out. I don't remember the exact amount of this budget either, to be honest.
I think it was more, I think it was $75,000.
Was it okay?
Yeah. Because I think that number got derived from the library discussion, but I think we had placed it in there as a result of that finding.
Okay.
We'll verify it.
Perfect. Other questions? Comments?
I was just going to say that being that close to the track, we have traditionally pretty good cross country runners. If you want to get started early, get that started.
Well, the other thing too is, you know, Yorkville, the school district's got a fantastic music program, so maybe start singing or something.
The marching band.
Playing clarinet or something like that, you know.
Like, but, that's what we're hoping to have. More collaboration with another, because the education foundation doesn't know things like that. And
right.
Hopefully this will continue in other areas.
Yeah, excellent. Other questions, comments? Chris, did you have it? Okay, thank you all. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have... actually, Bright Farms Development Agreement. This is an involvement. There's actually nothing to vote on tonight.
I do have a couple updates.
Please.
So the development agreement is being drafted, going back and forth on some of the high-level components that we talked about the last meeting with the developer. So obviously, it didn't make tonight's meeting. The possibility will be in front of you on February 8th. All of our efforts are currently going towards that date, as it's in front of you, but we'll see what happens. And one of the variables in that equation, aside from overall negotiations, is the actual water study component of it, related to their well. They know that they need to present water well information to everybody here so that you guys can review it before you approve anything. And that study itself is contingent upon being able to drill a test well, which in this weather is a little difficult. So they are looking for a break in the weather in order to be able to do that, so it's partially contingent on that. So if they can drill the test well and do their analysis prior to the next meeting, even if the agreement isn't fully complete or drafted, we have asked them to present the water well information as soon as possible. That way you guys have as much time as possible to review that information to make the next questions before you're expected to vote on an agreement. We did work with the developer who has given us the verbal commitment that they're going to be making a couple deposit payments on the engineering agreement that you had approved prior meeting. We haven't given the formal go-ahead to do that, but in general, our deposit requirement was $15,000 to $25,000 for a couple months, which will take us with work through the end of March. So we've timed out the agreement of $200,000 over the 9 or 10 months it takes. Figured out that the first 2 months itself is probably about $40,000 or $50,000. Calculated their existing deposit, told them how much they need to put up in order for us to proceed with that work. That's what we're working towards. So I think that'll be finalized here yet this week, and we'll start working on that immediately. More to come on that. And then, since the last time the City Council reviewed it, Engineering Enterprises and Brand's team have revised the sewer grounds, so they've tightened it up a little bit, identified what we think is the final conceptual route, as well as the overall scope of the different pipe sizes and lengths, cutting out a branch of a pipe, resizing one of the pipes up, but shrinking the length of it slightly, and all that has the effect of reducing the overall cost of the sewer project, hopefully, by tens of thousands of dollars or maybe $100,000. So the funding gap and Bright Farms' expected commitment has been prorated and increased as a result of that work. Which will be presented to you at a later date. That is all that I have.
Again, we have nothing to vote on tonight, but are there any questions in the meantime? Chris?
Just following up with the conversation I had with Lori Soling about the water. This is something I asked about the last time. Is there the volume that they were going to be using from the well, how much is recycled? And I know that's part of the water study, but that was kind of a concern of how much water they're really using, especially based on the fact that we're kind of going to play fish in water. They're going to be in perpetuity. I want to be very certain about how much water they're actually taking out in October, how much they're going to be recycling. It's kind of a, I don't want to say the health standard that we're allowing someone to not be on our city water, but to make certain concessions, but also won't be fair. So I'll make sure they have the information as soon as possible.
Understood.
Other questions? Mr. Koch?
Just what's the time frame for when the grant results we should know? Or
we've said it could be a matter of a few weeks to a few months or more, depending on whatever else is being done. I know that their department, I think it's the DCEO that actually reviews the grants, has put out dozens of business grants and other, our downtown grants. And from my just own tracking of other grant projects, it seems like everything is taking a little bit longer than people would prefer. But, nothing that's taken a year. It's just, 4 months instead of 3 months is what they expected. So your approval of the minutes on the consent agenda tonight is our final piece of the puzzle. So we're hopeful that we'll be sending in the materials this week or the next week.
It just needs my signature.
Doesn't need your signature. Mr. Song.
Would it be possible, if there's going to be a representative for them at the next meeting, to have a more detailed explanation about their plans for recapture of water? I mean, pretty vague the last conversation we had.
I will ask. So I don't know if that is contingent upon their overall water study or not, but I will forward that along.
They may zoom in. They may not actually fly out.
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Other questions or comments? Okay, thank you. You know, and something I didn't mention. We have Ray here from the PD. Just we're blessed with his presence. Thank you. And then Chief here from the fire district. Thank you. And the police and the fire, and I know we mentioned this, but no one was here from the fire department last time, but a few weeks ago, saved a couple ladies from a fire just about a block or so from your house, Craig. So thank you all. Thank you, everyone. It's just fantastic what we do. Or what you all do. You know, I don't do it. You all do it, so thank you. Okay, next. Oh, this one's very, very controversial. We have a Galena Road, Kennedy Road intersection improvement. And this is just the county's doing it. They're doing a light there. Are they doing turn lanes? Who would know that? Where are you all at out there? Eric?
Brad, Eric.
Okay. They're doing turn lanes and a light, correct?
Correct. Yes, good evening, correct.
Okay, and so they want about 1/10 of an acre of temporary easement for the length of the project. What's it, about 3 years or something? 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, it's expected to go into construction next year, so probably take all of 2023 and then wrap up in 2024.
So next year meaning 2023 or next year meaning this fiscal year or this calendar year?
The calendar year 23 is the deadline for construction.
Okay, awesome. So I'm looking for a motion and a second on that, and if there's questions you can ask.
So
second.
Who was that over here? Well, it was Merrick, okay? With your mask on, you look like Batman. It's hard to tell. And Trent here. Okay. So, is there any questions or comments? Did I explain it okay? Okay, roll call, please.
Terulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you. Next, we have 2022-07. I'm looking for a motion for the appointment of Freedom of Information Officer, Caitlin Gregory.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you all very much. That's all we have for the first mayor's report. Now we're going to go over to Public Works. Do we have anything in Public Works?
You know, you did such a great job a couple of things last week. That's not the consent agenda, so I appreciate that.
And you're quite welcome. Thank you. You know, it's hard to get some of these old timers to use that consent agenda, but we're finally getting Chris to come around.
Right, yeah.
Until next time. So, next, we have the EDC report. What do we have on the EDC report?
Let's see. We have... Hang on 1 second here.
I got one more for you, Chris. Don't worry about it.
We have EDC 2021-43. And that is a motion to approve resolution approving master... Oh, wait. Hang on. Wrong one. A motion to approve the ordinance approving a development agreement between the United City of Yorkville and Rally Homes LLC and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second? Okay. Merrick again? Batman? Okay.
It's Batman.
Batman. Oh, I like that. Or is it Batman? Okay. Christy, do you have any updates you want to give us? Very similar. I don't think anything's changed, but do you want to talk about it at all?
Sure. The project has not changed the last time that we saw this before you. The petitioner is available to answer any questions, but it's for the 83 single lot fan subdivision on about 50 acres in the downtown area. And they are moving forward with construction. They've already submitted at least one building permit thus far.
Excellent. Questions or comments? Mr. Peterson?
Did they make any other considerations on name change, since it's very similar to the timber ridge that's across from Autumn Creek on the south side of Route 34?
They were presented with the request by a couple of the elected officials here at the last meeting to change it. They declined to change their name.
Okay. So did we have anything on that? If somebody brought up, if there is police, fire, first responders, that there could be some confusion, do we have something we can delineate that so that it eliminates any kind of confusion?
So my understanding is that the dispatchers are trained to give out street names and addresses and not necessarily subdivision names because of that potential.
Okay. And I think, Christy, didn't you say we actually will approve the street names as well?
They already have street names associated with the development, but the petitioner's asking to revise them, so we will review them to make sure there's no conflicts with any other subdivisions within the area.
Yeah. And just to give you an idea of how that works, too, we send that over to Pentagon and Dispatch, and they will review it, and even if it's, like, not the same, but it sounds the same, they have made requests for street names to be changed in the past, and they are generally hearing inside the office.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mr. Funkhauser.
On that, my only question is, why would we not push a little harder to have them change their name? I understand it's good for marketing for them to be able to choose what they want, but there's already two Wendy County ones in the city that are similar. I know it's not a conflict for Pentagon. That's an easy one, you know, unless somebody references it, but Pentagon would require that. But the issue is, it's more of a marketing issue that is very similar to the two others. And it just creates confusion generally. It's not that it's going to actually create a problem overall, it's just for the general public.
Yeah, the developer likes the name, they think it's a marketable name, they prefer to use it. Certainly, you can withhold the vote, and if five of you said we would prefer it to be changed, or else we're not going to vote for it, then we would present that to them and see what they say.
Other comments? Roll call, please.
Solin?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank the staff because they know how to work on this. And there'll be some good, you know, improvements. It's going to be nice to get the subdivision going. It'll be a real nice subdivision. So thank you. Okay. Anything else for EDC?
No, sir.
Okay. Public safety report. This is, you're excited about this, I think.
I've talked to a lot of people about these cameras.
I want to get this moving.
This is PS 2021-25, a motion to approve a resolution approving a master customer agreement by and between the United City of Yorkville and WatchGuard Video Incorporated and authorized the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second. I heard Siever.
Siever did.
Yes, absolutely. And maybe it's because he's closer and I just heard the, you know, the sound travels with him. That's excellent. So my understanding of this is it's a 5-year agreement. First year is about $44,000 for the equipment and the support. And each of the remaining 4 years is for about $26,000 per year. And actually the $44,000 is less than we had budgeted, which is fantastic. And Jim said he'd be glad to get the extra money to Tim for any projects Tim had. Just kidding, he didn't say that. But the other thing that I thought was important is if we, at the end of the 5 years, decide we want to go to the firm, a different firm, not saying we should or would, but if we did, we get all that data, so we don't lose the data. So I thought that was important. Questions or comments from the council? Mr. Peterson.
So I have a couple. One, it pertains to the batteries. Do you know how long the batteries last?
Statutorily, the batteries have to, the camera has to run for a minimum of 10 hours.
Okay.
We've been told anywhere between 12 and 15.
Okay. Because like any kind of electronic, obviously, that's a concern. Because if
somebody... Also, part of the bid also encompasses an extra battery per camera, so there's always going to be two batteries. And then the setup in the squad car is the camera can actually hook up to a connector and it can actually charge while it's in
school. Okay, you just answered my other question, perfect. Because it is the WatchGuard system that we have in the cars right now that are on dash, correct?
That's
so
correct.
Then that was gonna be my next one. Can they connect to it and charge so that you don't have to worry about that, perfect.
It's a fully integrated system, so the audio, the video, the actual camera itself will be the microphone in place of the in-car camera right now as a separate microphone. So camera system and the body cams, and then through the Evans software package that we are getting with this, it integrates it all together. It can automatically upload it into our records management system.
Perfect. So that's why when he said at the end of the 5 year you can switch to 7 miles, but if we've already got everything working and synergizing together, it makes sense to keep it. And so what I understand, we talked earlier that the cloud coverage is the most expensive part of it.
Yes.
And then we have a maintenance plan with them, correct?
Well, let me back up. The most expensive part, I don't remember the breakdown off the top of my head, the overall cost of it. If we go from a lease to actually a purchase, we would have to purchase a server, I don't know how many terabytes we would have to have for that. So the storage is a large part of the cost. Highest part, I'm not sure. I have to go into the...
Yeah, it's a pretty large part. Okay. And then, what was my other question here? Do we have like a damage replacement? It looked like they had a refresh thing every few years, right?
So the contract that we would sign under the lease, the third year, we would get brand new body cameras and batteries. So we would get the latest in body camera technology, and obviously technology changes all the time.
Yeah.
And then if we went on to a second contract at the end of this one here, we would get brand new body cameras then as well. As far as the no-fault warranty, it's truly a no-fault warranty.
Awesome.
Not that I'm going to be chasing somebody, but if I did, the camera fell off and it was damaged, it's fully replaced at no cost to the city.
Perfect.
That's part of the agreement.
So in midterm of that five-year agreement, we could renegotiate that to extend and get benefits out of that, what you said?
So we would have to go to the end of this contract,
okay,
if you guys approve it. And then probably about 4.5 years in, we would start negotiating for the second contract that we would.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You betcha.
Chief Jensen, if you were chasing somebody and running, I'd like to see that video.
I'd like to see that myself.
I guarantee you would catch that.
I can catch that.
No. I can run.
I know what we're going to do, so you can see it happen, is Ray's running behind you with his body camera.
That went down.
Well, it does around here. Okay, other questions or comments? Mr. Transier.
These are statutorily required, correct? Not at this point, though?
Not at this point. January 2025 will be mandated by statute.
They have made a lot of changes to this crime reform bill in the last year and a half. Do you expect the legislature is going to redact the provision of body cams?
No.
Okay. Even if they did, would you still want body cams?
I would say without hesitation, absolutely yes.
Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
I'll be very honest. I'm glad that we're ahead of the curve on this one, that we're being proactive before the 2025 deadline. Staff's done a good job. The staff has done a very good job on researching this, providing it. I sat in on a couple of the public safety committee meetings to listen to this. When we make this purchase, we're fully staffed, or we're acquiring cameras for the entire community plus extra, but if we add officers, we will have to purchase those, but those would then be under the same contract or a separate contract.
So we are purchasing 33 cameras. Right now we're at 33 sworn staff. So that would include the command staff, all sworn officers. We have an extra one camera. If we hire a new person, that person would get that camera. If we hire an additional person from that, it's $39 a month for a 5 year contract. So it would be included, we would have to add that on to the existing contract.
So over the next 5 years, if we choose to hire 2, 3, 4 more officers, every time we do that, that camera will be on its own contract during that term, but it would still have the same, or would it still have the same replacement and damage, same as everything else, which is on its own contract?
It would be on its own contract. In talking with our salesman, he would not tell me for sure, let's just say within the third year we had to buy 2 additional cameras. My comment to him was, well, I don't want to pay for a 5 year contract if we're only going to have 3 years left. He goes, right now it's a 5 year contract. Could it change in the future? Yes. Technology is going to change. Pricing is going to change. But we would be locked for a certain period of time. So you couldn't give me a definite yes. You couldn't give me a definite no. So I'm erring on the side of caution. It would be a 5-year
over. So it does. It allows us to dip on the contracts, but at least it allows us to grow the system as we grow what we need, which is something that we're trying to do. You're good staffing right now, but those numbers could easily change. So, like I said, this is great. I'm glad we're doing it. I want to make absolutely certain that the policies, such as the sample policies provided, that the officers are trained, they sign off on the policies, and everything is in place prior to stepping out of the building. For liability purposes, our policy that is written is executed perfectly.
So the implementation plan that we're going to have, this is going to be about an 8 to 10 week time frame to get the equipment. During that time frame, we're going to be finalizing our policy. We're going to ask Kathy to review the policy. Obviously, statutorily, we don't expect things to change between now and July 1st. Although July 1st, they are expecting some changes that may go along with the body camera policy. So in that time frame, we'll make sure that the policy is rock solid. We will then implement it to our staff. We will train our staff. Our staff will sign off on it. We will do everything we can do to get done so that when the equipment comes in, we are ready to go.
And then my final, do you have any plan to do any communication to the public on the new body cameras?
I hadn't thought about that, but I would absolutely take care of that. Absolutely.
That would be great. Thank you.
Mr. Kolk?
Yeah, I just had one other question. I think we think about the negative things we see with body cameras, that hospitals need the body cameras for that reason. Are there times where you use the body camera for maybe evidence that isn't regard to a crime or something's happening with the situation that they're in, like for evidence, I don't know what it could be, but I can see where I've never thought about that until now.
So I'm not sure I understand the question totally. So the video that would be on the body cam, most of the time would be evidence that we would take in,
okay. And
we would be able to put that into our reporting system, into evidence, and then we have judicial sharing so we can actually take a link for that video, send it right to the state's attorney's office instead of us burning a bunch of copies. The other part of that question, which I think you're maybe looking at, Ken, is the, if our officer has an interaction with someone on the street, and for whatever reason, maybe a crime wasn't committed,
right,
but they just don't feel comfortable with that conversation, and they think maybe it could go further, they would absolutely be able to, that video would be recorded because it's an interaction with somebody on the street. It would be maintained in our vault for 90 days.
Okay.
And we can maintain it for further if we need to. But we would absolutely maintain that video in case something came up, whether it was a citizen's complaint, maybe potential litigation, we would do everything we could to keep that video.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, let's say you're with someone pulled over and somebody flies right by you, you had that, the officer turned, you had that right there too.
We've actually had that with traffic stops where the officer just had the interaction did not go well. And so the officer puts in a request to copy that video. And then there's a lot of times we'll take that to traffic court with us, or we'll just keep it because maybe this person's going to make a complaint later on. And now we actually have the video that will support the interaction with that person. So,
or to piggyback off that, what if you have a traffic stop and you realize later on that day that there was maybe a child abduction and X amount of whatever time that was, can we pull everybody's camera and see, did you see that white van drive by or whatever the case may be?
Oh, that's kind of what I was
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So the body camera's not always running.
Okay.
So, although, let me back up a little bit. I guess it is, by statute, you have to be able to go back 30 seconds to... So if I stop you as an example, but I hit my camera on when I stop it, it will actually go back that 30 seconds. These cameras will actually go back how far?
Recording 25 hours and 1080p.
Okay. So it's constantly recording. So maybe to your question, yeah, we may be able to go back and get some additional information off cameras that maybe didn't have the red light that they were recording, but these cameras are always recording.
Okay. Well, maybe CanCom should fund this.
I'm sorry?
Maybe CanCom should fund this.
Appreciate that, thank you.
Shit, that's how much even when they're spending. So, Mr. Sully.
They would turn it around immediately. That could be probably a couple days before for shipping to get us the equipment. The nice thing is we have people that are working. We have obviously members that are not working. So we would always be able to take the camera for somebody who's not working to outfit somebody who was working. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So.
Other questions, comments?
Yeah, that was my question too. Thank you for that. We have they given you some indication of how they identify the serial number that's very easy to tell, you know, exactly what they're calling?
So I'm going to turn this over to Ray. Ray has done all of the research on the cameras and it really has done a really nice job of getting everything organized and put together. So I'm going to turn that over.
So, as with our in-car cameras right now, if the officer logs in, their name and badge number is embedded in that video.
Okay.
One of the other reasons we wanted to get each officer their own body cameras, talking to Montgomery Police Department, they've had their program implemented probably about 2 years now. They were sharing body cameras, and when officers were forgetting to change their name number when they checked out a body camera, an officer would go out with somebody else's name on the video. Now, is it the end of the world? No, because you can match the date and times up, right? So it allowed them to figure out, okay, this wasn't Officer So-and-so, it was Officer So-and-so. But once everyone has their own cameras, you know, it should be logged in. They log in and they'll sync it up to their name and badge number. And so when you should be able to more easily find it in the system, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Our squad car cameras have that same.
Yeah. And they'll be synced together. The squad car video and the body camera video will be synced together. All the audio and everything, so it should be in one package.
So with the current in-car cameras, just from my knowledge, when you need to retrieve the video, do you guys have to manually upload that, or is that's not cloud-based yet, is it?
No, so right now our cars, when they pull in the lot, they're going to be uploaded to the antenna. They go into an internal server, and the video has to be requested and burned onto a CD or DVD, which takes a lot of time, and it goes into a folder in evidence, it takes up space. So that's currently the process with our in-car cameras. With this system, the nice thing is everything's going to go into cloud, and it's, you know, it stops our records clerks from having to spend so much time burning these CDs and DVDs, and the cost of purchasing those, and the storage, and everything else that goes with it.
So this system here itself, so we allow to have unlimited storage for body cameras. We also have unlimited storage for our in-car SWAT video.
Okay.
So that is part of this, and it all goes up to the so we don't have to worry about IT costs, we don't have to worry about server going bad. It's all uploaded and managed by WatchGuard, which is CJ's line.
So one quick last question, sorry. The WatchGuard that we have now that are on the unit, squad units, whatever, how old are those? Do those need to be updated? Can we work that into this deal, or are they okay?
So when we purchase a new car system in the cars. We haven't had any systems rotate over just yet because we haven't replaced the Ford Explorer yet. A lot of times you can get two cycles out of cars, but a lot of that's going to depend in the future on the technology and the changes in that technology. Sometimes they put out updates, and if you have an older system, the older systems don't take the current updates, which means you have to buy a newer system.
Do we have any that need to be changed over now while we're doing it, or no?
At this point, no.
Okay.
So when we rotate out, like our Chevys as an example, part of our SWAT package that you guys have approved is the purchase of an in-car camera.
Gotcha.
Part of that in-car camera, a large majority of it, is reimbursed because we've been applying for grants to cover the cost of those cameras. So while we're paying it up front, we're getting it on the back end through the grant system. These cameras here, we're also going to do the same for these. Plan on applying for the grant through the Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board. While we're not guaranteed to get grant money, because we're applying and putting in for the grant, I hope that we'll get some.
Awesome. Nice work. Appreciate it.
Ray did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Sorry, one more question. So we've got a no-fault hardware warranty replacement. What if a camera is just simply not picking up audio or video? Does it have a built-in like alert? Or how would we find out about that? Do salesmen give you that idea? Something that looks like it should be working, but you know, for whatever reason, the audio picks up, the video is not playing. I can see there being issues if we needed to retrieve it. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, you know, I don't know for sure. I think there are alerts on. There's a message screen that the officer looks down and tells them the battery's going low of that nature. I don't know about the phone not working. You know, I assume it's something we might pick up reviewing video or something like that. But it's something I can look into. All right, good question.
Part of our policy is also that our sergeants are going to be reviewing four different interactions throughout the course of the month.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that we're following what our policy is. We're following what statute is.
Yeah.
Could we miss something in your example? Yeah, that could happen. We'd like to know, and we'd like to hope that when we report it right away, because maybe it's used in a criminal case, we would know then when we go to upload everything and put everything into evidence.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately enough, we're doing it early enough that when it's, we officially have to come down by 2025, this is all flushed out. We may give them time to hopefully not release it. We know
yes.
That stage forward. Okay.
And I can tell you, you know, part of the changes are already made to the statute were to make some of the language less harsh as far as the penalties, because they understand the equipment's going to fail, human beings are going to fail sometimes and not activate their camera anyway, so they did update some of that language. I assume from some of the things I hear going forward, since the question was asked about state statute, that they are going to keep reviewing language and clean up some of those things in the statute, is my understanding, so there's less ambiguity in some of these items in there and phrases and terms and you know, and basically there is some room for improvement. They know that and they've been good about working on it. So I expect there to be some changes, but nothing really drastic. I agree. You know, body cameras aren't going away. It's the technology that everyone wants and we want it. That's I think it's here to stay. So I'm sure.
I want to ask my question.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Something about Ward 3 tonight, huh? Other questions or comments?
This is a supermajority, too, also.
Oh, this is a supermajority?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that because it's a single source? What's it?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for the reminder. I did not know that. Questions at all? Okay, roll call, please.
I'd like to make a comment. Because it's single source, it's WatchGuard. I'm familiar with WatchGuard. I've used it in my practice of law, and it's a great system. I've never had any problems on a user standpoint accessing any video that's been provided me by the United States Attorney's Office. So there are different systems. I know the Sheriff's Office uses a different system. WatchGuard, by far, has always been the most user-friendly.
Good. Thank you for the feedback. Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Good discussion. Anything else from public safety?
No, sir.
Excellent. Admin?
I'm Admin here, and 2022-07 RFP results and recommendations. Make a motion to authorize staff to accept the proposal and award the contract to Waterbuck and Amen LLP in an amount not to exceed $167,425 over the 5-year contract term.
Second by Tarulis.
The reason this is on the agenda, we went out to bid for auditing services. We received three bids. This is the same source that we had used for the past couple of contracts, 10 years. Staff did not think that it was justified to go to the next one to change just for the sake of changing. It would have been an additional $35,000 over the course of the term. Committee agreed with this. We just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of our position to stick with our same auditing for the next 5 years.
This is a 3-year contract, 2-year option, correct?
Yes.
Questions or comments for Mr. Funkhauser or any of us? Mr. Funkhauser, did the Dixon conversation ever come up?
It did not.
Does that concern you at all?
No, we've been very good success with our firm.
Sure, Dixon thought they did.
Well, they did. Our staff is very content and very happy with it. We've had good eyes on this. Even the auditing firm, they have offered to change our principal and their entire staff if we so chose.
I like that. Thank you. Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else from Madden?
Nothing else.
Park Board? Tim, anything?
No report.
Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission. Christy, I told you earlier, you are all over the place on this agenda.
Yes, I guess I am. This is YVSD's request for variances to four sections of our code, two being in the adopted stormwater management ordinance that is the regulation set by Kendall County that the city adopted, and we are a certified community. And the other two have to do with relief from our landscape ordinance as well as building setbacks. So the purpose of this is for the sanitary care district to do needed expansion to be able to take on the waste from our expanding community. The petitioner, who is the director of the sanitary district, Cyrus McNames, is here to answer any questions as well as his engineering staff. And this was recommended unanimously through the Planning and Zoning Commission for approval.
Excellent, thank you. And Cyrus, before we get into this, just give me a quick update. Where are the COVID numbers in your waste? Not yours personally, but facility.
Yeah, and then it's a little private. Evening, everyone. Thank you for taking the time out of your agenda for us. The COVID numbers, I gotta tell you, they're looking good. After the really high week between Christmas and New Year's, they've come down rapidly. We're down, I think, about 1% the last week or so. What was really interesting this last week was the Delta variant is no longer detected in the virus count. So it seems to be almost all Omicron.
That's pretty interesting. So, thank you. I know you're not here for that, but I'm very intrigued by that early on. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so now back to the matter at hand. I guess before we get too caught up, I need a motion in a second for this item.
A motion. Second.
I tell you what, I'm gonna give it to Cole and Solon, because Solon, this is his blood, really.
Bread and butter.
Your bread and butter, okay. Bread and butter, whatever else is there too. Okay. So I'll allow questions now. Are there no questions? Oh, Mr. Funkhauser. I was afraid if you weren't going to ask questions if you're feeling well. We got a professional here to save you, though, if you're going to pass out or something.
The only one I have is regarding setbacks. So we have no site plan. There's not really a description of the setbacks other than it's for any uses of the treatment center or treatment facilities going to a 10-foot on all property lines. My question is, along River Road, I believe that the property ownership goes to the center line. There's not a dedication along this piece of property. So do we have prescriptive easements? Is the setback from prescriptive easement? Will they be dedicated? My concern is the setback along River Road. And what are they doing against River Road if it's going to be 10 feet back? That would be my concern. Maybe somebody can answer that from
Christy, did you hear that?
It was a little difficult. I know it's about the setback, but I couldn't make out exactly.
Yeah, so the question is have we defined the actual setback area adjacent to River Road so
since there's a question as to whether River Road is a prescriptive easement versus a right-of-way versus other things. So we're trying to figure out where that setback line actually occurs on the property.
So because we don't have a defined land plan for this expansion, it was the intent of the petitioner to maintain the same setback line they established on the existing facility, so they would use that as the continuation of the setback on this property.
Is that illustrated somewhere in the packet or no?
No, there was no site plan showing the potential expansion.
Other questions? Mr. Funkhouse.
Just following up on that. I don't know for certain whether or not there is an actual dedication on the existing property or not. So they're just going to project similarly from, I assume, the edge of pavement to where the building is today, the current main office building in the parking lot. That's what they're assuming is 10 feet. That's my assumption, because without a site plan, not knowing what they're doing. I just want to make sure that we're giving ample setback to it. I know there's also a grade change along that area on there. So that's my hesitation. Is this anything that's critical time-wise right now, or is it something that we could look at a site plan to make sure that the setback is appropriate? Could you hear that one, Christy?
I did. The petitioner would have to address when we could see a site plan.
Yeah, Brent, do you have any information on that that roadway setback there? I know the Alderman Funkhauser, we were talking about that center line. That's currently what the center line is for the property, but I think in moving to the future when that road gets taken in, I mean, we have some site plans, some master planning. We're not on top of the road. We've got adequate space between that road, allow for drainage, and then anything that can be put on that site, even accounting for that road to be expanded. Brent, I don't think we have any exhibits or anything to share this evening, though.
No, and so far we're kind of developing that 30% plan and the master plan for that west site. Of the structures, we're going to be having two major structures, and those are significantly further back than that 10 feet. So we're not proposing to be right on that 10 feet. And we definitely can kind of keep everyone informed and provide that site plan as it's kind of coming to a point where it's settled.
Yeah, and if I may, real quick, any building that we erect over there, we're going to have maintenance access to. We're going to leave room for ourselves to drive around it and perform maintenance. We'll need access to all sides of the buildings or process tanks, etc. So you won't be driving down River Road and have a 20-foot concrete wall 10 feet off the property line.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, anything else from Planning and Zoning Commission? Christy?
No, that's all.
Okay, well, you did have a busy evening. Next, we have City Council report. I know Mr. Peterson had some earlier. Anything else on anything? Nope. Okay. City clerk report?
No report.
Do we have any community and liaison reports? Mr. Merrick?
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, we're continuing to strengthen our YUF relationship with the city, specifically Parks and Rec. We do have our date for the Ford Golf Alley again this year.
Oh, sweet.
It's going to be June 9th. I don't think we officially have anything set on tickets yet, but I know we have a date set. So more information to come, but as always, looking for raffle items, and to piggyback on what Jason mentioned before for his event, and business sponsors as well. We'll be inviting a lot of the Yorkville teachers and staff to once again join us to represent their schools.
Same location?
Same location as far as I'm aware, right, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Mayor, you can tell us how much fun it was because you attended last year.
I did too,
at least. Not so much as golf skills, so much as social skills.
I've never had anyone tell me I have social skills, so thank you. You didn't say you're good social skills.
It was an asterisk on
that. Yeah, okay. Air quotes.
NYEF has also, we've revamped our website, which is yef115.org. They're looking for sponsorships as well. There are different tier levels. If there's any interest in anybody finding out who we are and what we do, hop on over to that site. We are also taking applications in the very near future for Fostering Our Future, where we recommend that students, alumni, parents, or other staff members recommend staff members for our Fostering Our Future awards, which are individual and teammates from time to time. So if you've got somebody that one of your kids is coming home and is telling you he's a great teacher, or you notice there's an influence, we encourage you to hop over to our site and nominate them.
Excellent. Anything else, Matthew?
Okay.
So I know I've told the company this. I don't know if I told y'all or not. So since we're talking about schools and some of these great programs they have, they've got a dual language program. And fortunately, I think fortunately, our three kids are in it. And 6th, 5th, and 3rd grade. And I think they're doing pretty well. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, phone rings and I answer it. And it's in Spanish, so it's one of those, you know, robocalls, but it's in Spanish. So I put it on a speakerphone, and the kids are like, what is it? And I said, listen. And they said, oh, they're asking if you want to extend your car warranty. Swear to God, they understood it. It was great. So the program's doing fantastic. I couldn't believe it.
Now so is your car.
Yeah. So for margaritas and mayo, I'll have an extended car warranty. Okay, do we have other liaison reports? I know staff has something in just a moment, but any other liaison reports?
Maybe later this week.
Oh, you're going to get this money shifted to KenCom? That'd be great. Okay, I know Mr. Chief Jensen, you had an update, correct?
We do. So YPD is going to be partnering with Wolford Sports for our Polar Plunge, which is going to be March 5th. We're going to have D.C. Fitzmeyer is going to put out some information to the board, so if you'd like to plunge, we will be indoors in a dunk tank inside the dome. We're going to be plunging with some special Olympic athletes, and we hope to have a really good time. So we'll put out more information. We'd love you guys to join us if you can.
Heated water, about 92 degrees. Mr. Transier.
Why isn't it tomorrow?
Smart.
Follow-up question. Are you with the dunk tank?
Yes, I am.
Is the public allowed to throw the ball for it?
I'm covered by a cage, but yes. If you're accurate enough to sink, we have to not
attempt. I think you conveniently let that out.
Excellent. Other staff report. Anything else?
No other reports.
Okay. Mayor's report, I do have a couple things. One is, and I'm not trying to steal anyone's thunder, but also March 12th, we do have our St. Patrick's Festival. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, so I think people can do that. Because what time is the parade? I know it's still a month and a half away. But.
The 5K run starts at 9 a.m., the leprechaun hunts at 9, ice parade starts at 11. And then there'll be downtown events, and then at 6:30 is
a fireworks show. Yeah, and so after the fireworks show, you can just stroll on out to the Whitetail for Mr. Peterson's fundraiser.
There you go.
Now, I don't know if you want those same people there or not. Make sure you have a green beer there, Jason. So good. And then the other thing I have is just everyone stay warm tonight. That's one of the reasons Kathy's not here. She asked for permission to stay home tonight. I granted it. And then she actually texted me. She said, audio is not the best at home, but in the new building, that'll be much better. She said to me, she said, I definitely will be back next time. And I said, with capital I and F, if you're invited. So anyway. Okay, I have nothing else under Mayor's report that's not written. Bart, do you have building update and water update? I think you do.
Yeah, just a couple brief items. The building update, we are in our bid window for the Prairie Point renovations. Our mandatory bid meeting, pre-bid meeting and walkthrough is tomorrow morning. We do already have 11 plant holders, so we'll see how many of them show up tomorrow, which is a pretty good number, we feel. And the bid window closes again on February 15th, so we should know then where our contractors are at with pricing, and that gives us an idea of what we're doing with furniture and a number of other options. So anybody have any questions about that? Great. On the water, oops, did you have one? Okay, sorry. On the water, we have been in touch with the DuPage Water Commission on legislation related to our representation, or this region's representation on the board. We are anticipating legislation to be filed here in a few days, potentially. And in general, the DuPage Water Commission has reviewed it at their meeting. They seem okay with us having selection of representative chosen by the mayors in the region. One of the things that has come out of that that has been a little bit different than the last time you talked about it is there are York, Oswego, and Montgomery, of course, in this region. There's a potential that some of the Joliet area communities may be actually talking to DuPage about joining too. And so the concept there would be is if there's four or five communities or more, that all of those communities outside of DuPage County would be in one district, and then so the mayors of each one of those towns would pick the municipal representative. Additionally, when the DuPage Water Commission, and I believe representatives from the DuPage County Board, had talked about the representation proposal, they actually preferred to add a second non-DuPage county-chosen board member to the board. So if you remember, there's 13 board members, 7 of them chosen by the DuPage County Board, 6 of them chosen by the mayors in the DuPage County region. And so rather than make it 7 county and 7 municipal representatives, they actually prefer to have 8 county chosen people and 7 municipal representatives. So they still have the same balance between county reps and municipal reps on that board. They have preliminarily agreed at a staff level that that county selection would be made by the DuPage County Board chairman, so they would actually appoint somebody from our region to be, you know, a board member, and then it would have to be, you know, confirmed by the DuPage County Board. So we would have actually 2 members from our area serving on the board, one of them chosen by the mayors, and one of them chosen by the DuPage County Board themselves. So that's the latest update, although that can always change. So.
Questions or comments? It was a good meeting we had, so thank you. Okay, any additional business? Are there any citizen comments? I'll start. Oh.
Citizen comments.
Yeah, I was going to start with people here in the audience. Did you want to comment as a citizen?
Yes, and for the citizen. And Mr. Deuce, this probably won't come to a surprise, but I've had more Autumn Creek people asking about clearing the sidewalk off on the park side across from Autumn Creek Elementary School when it snows. We've got some elderly people that are trying to get out there and shovel the sidewalk so the kids can actually get to school. We still have a lot of, despite how cold it is, we still have a lot of walkers. So kids are walking and they're trying to use the new crosswalk that we made, and it's been kind of hampered by that. And so I've explained, obviously, that our normal, so everybody knows, and or Eric, you can explain if you want, you have better detail on kind of the snow operations and how that works.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. We definitely do all the streets, parking lots, and all of our city buildings before we do any of the sidewalks, and the sidewalks come as we can get to it. If we are, say, like this weekend with back-to-back snows on Sunday and then again on Monday, we wouldn't have even gotten to the sidewalks until maybe today. So it's just not part of our normal routine. We get to them when we can, but we don't have any dedicated manpower or equipment for these type of areas.
Okay, and they just wanted to bring it up and see if there's anything that we could do in the future to at least talk a little bit more detail about making a plan,
Jason,
for that.
Just remember, this is citizen comments. This is not a back and forth discussion.
Gotcha.
So But I will say, we did talk about this day in staff meeting, and it just, as Eric said, with the equipment, the manpower we have, it's just as much as we'd like to do, it's just not practical.
Right.
You know, you got Bristol Bay, you've got Autumn Creek, you've got Grand Reserve, you got the high school, you got the grade school, you have Parkview, you know, you can't just ignore Parkview. You know, you've got Circle Center, you got YS, you've got the middle school, I'm probably missing one. There's just, we just don't have the manpower equipment. And so, anyway, and I know it's not the answer people want to hear, but it's just the real world answer that we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's what I explained.
So, okay. Any other citizen comments? Anyone in Zoom? Any citizen comments in Zoom? Well, we don't have an attorney, so we better not go into executive session. Or we don't have an attorney here physically. We have an attorney. She hasn't been canned or anything like that. Okay.
Don't get any ideas.
Well, let me tell you something, Kathy. We had no problem hearing you here. Holy cow.
because they haven't shown up yet. But you will. You will. You can't survive without me. I've decided.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
I heard one over here. I actually heard Plotcher speak for the first time. And then I heard Funkhouse. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.